Welcome to the CyberQ podcast. This episode is part of our Cyber Vision series, where we explore the future of cyber insurance through expert insight, innovation, and thought leadership. I'm your host, Rhianna Mistry, content specialist at CyberQ, and today we're discussing the cyber talent gap in the insurance industry. I'm joined by Rebecca Ball, Head of Strategic Engagement at CyberQ, and Siobhan O'Brien, Global Head of Cyber at MSIG. Thank you for joining me. Rebecca, could you introduce yourself, please?
So I'm Rebecca Ball, and I'm Head of Strategic Engagement at CyberCube. And I'm a member of the Executive Leadership Team also at CyberCube. And so really in that context, as a member of the leadership team, you know, I've been responsible for building the company and growing the company and maintaining culture. And I'm the executive sponsor of our ESG Environmental, Social and Governance group as well. So I think kind of it's with that hat on that I'm speaking today.
And Siobhan?
Hi, I'm Siobhan O'Brien. I'm the Global Cyber Center of Excellence leader for Mitsui Sumitomo Insurance Group. Rebecca and I have known each other a very long time and talked over many, many subjects over those years. I am in the process of building out a cyber team. So talent, all talent acquisition is a subject quite close to my heart right now, and building culture around that talent and building teams that want to perform and grow and succeed together.
So Siobhan, to kick us off, could I ask, what do you think has changed in the cyber insurance space that has made talent such a critical topic?
I mean, I think that the space itself has increased exponentially in terms of demand because of awareness around the issue of cyber risk at various companies, at government level. If you look at the ability to service the demand for that talent, it really isn't there. We have huge talent gaps where in the insurance side of it, looking at a very small pool of cyber qualified talent, and there's a lot of competition for that talent. I think that has continued to grow over the past few years. Cyber is a relatively new product in terms of the insurance industry. And so it's just going to go through early year development learning curves like every other product has had to. However, the demand for the product is exponentially growing. So that demand needs to start keeping pace.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there is definitely a need for talent in the cyber insurance market, and that is growing. Whether cyber insurance itself has like an outsized talent gap, or whether this is actually just, you know, every industry, every line of business in insurance, every sector in the economy is looking for talent at any point in time. And so that's a kind of constant, I suppose. But I think certainly like how I observe it right now is that, yes, there's a need for talent, but the sort of size of that hole or the shape of that hole is changing more than the size.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean. So it's kind of, we're looking for slightly different talent as we try to sort of keep up with the changing peril, then we need slightly different talent there. Or as the job market changes, maybe some roles, some skill sets that were hard to find previously are becoming a bit easier to fill. And then we're finding that there's huge demand for other skill sets. So as I see it, it's kind of the shape of the hole rather than the size of the hole. That's certainly on our minds at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a unique way of looking at it. And I agree with you, because the peril itself evolves constantly. And as you say, the need for the talent to match the peril with that evolves constantly. So what we're looking for changes, and the skills that we're looking for changes constantly. That creates huge opportunities for people.
So you're building out a team for cyber insurance underwriting operation. What are the main skills that you're looking for? How are you thinking about building that team as a sort of, you know, diverse group that can kind of look at the cyber peril from all sides and create those robust insurance products?
I mean, I think that the way in which you build a team doesn't matter whether it's cyber insurance or any other insurance. You need leadership, you need understanding of underlying product, you need vision, you need innovation, you need hunger. And that's almost regardless. For cyber, it's you're looking more specifically around people who understand the peril, who understand other lines of insurance and how cyber impacts those other lines of insurance and where opportunity may come for cyber in that in the future. So you're looking also at different types of people in the team, like we're hiring underwriters, we're hiring actuarial talent, we're hiring cybersecurity talent, cyber claims talent. So you're looking at all of those different components. When you're looking at the claims, you're also looking at the risk engineering. But a lot of what we will look at too is outsourcing some of that. So some of the incident response capabilities, some of the claims handling capabilities, we will look at some of the big claims handling firms to help us with that. So it's, as I say, it's not terribly different to how I would staff any other type of a team, but we're looking to build a culture that's very inclusive. We're looking to build a culture that's growing, that's able to pivot, that's able to change, that's aware of the dynamic trends in cyber and has that hunger to understand it more. And so it's quite exciting for me. The added nuance is I live in London and I'm building a team in North America. So that's been quite interesting. And in North America, you don't just have one office, you have offices across the country. So for me, it's a remote team by virtue of the fact that I'm here and they're in America. But it's kind of opened my mind a little bit more to them being remote as well, because we're all on the Teams call. It kind of doesn't matter where they are. And that's actually opening the doors to different opportunities in terms of people who want to work with us because of that flexibility around their locations. So that's been quite an interesting journey for me. So.
Yeah, I really want to dig into that because that's a really live issue for us at CyberCube as well. And as a kind of thinking of preparing for this conversation, sort of thinking about the changing dynamics of the demands of the employees and how they want to work, and marrying that with actually being able to bring in the right talent and develop skill sets, it's a fine balance. But I'll come back to that in a sec, because I think just thinking about the types of talent that you're hiring, your group, and particularly similarly, you know, we're a technology company, we build software products. So, you know, yes, we need to have those folk in the team who have insurance backgrounds and understand cyber insurance and where it fits into that wider context, has sat in the seats of the underwriters and the brokers and understand the needs of our clients, but also can build analytics and think very deeply about sort of, you know, quantifying that risk. So there's a, you know, a real need for us for talent that understands cyber threat. We need analysts, we need folk who've been in cybersecurity and defense, but also can do the modeling, actuary and the like, and create the product. So software engineering is a big area there. Data science, yeah, for example, being able to bring in all of the required data and turn it into those products.
And being able to talk to each other on a level that everybody understands.
Totally. Yeah.
Because that's a particular nuance of cyber, that you have all of these people from vastly different backgrounds.
Absolutely.
And you're asking them to come and talk about the central core of the cyber peril. And, you know, someone in engineering isn't going to think of it as a peril. They're going to think of it as a problem to be solved. Whereas we think of it as a peril in insurance, and how do we insure to it? How do we help our clients to better mitigate their risk, you know? And so it's finding that common parlance that they all can understand, and they all walk away from the meeting all actually understanding the same output from that meeting. So that's quite an interesting challenge too.
Yeah. And I think that's where having that shared kind of mission, vision,
yeah,
and a culture that allows those teams to interact and come together around mission and vision, super important, certainly, mm-hmm, for us. It's like we will play our part in building these products, and that's, yeah, those are unique contributions, but it all builds to the same thing, and sort of, you know, coalescing people's energy around that mission and vision is really, yeah, really important. But just one comment on the sort of changing shape of that talent gap at the moment, just an observation that, you know, from our hiring of late, is that I think other factors in the broader kind of employment market, particularly in tech,
have changed the landscape for us as well. So used to be, but it's always hard to find cyber actuaries. I mean, it's like hen's teeth, full stop. You know, everyone's after cyber actuaries. So that's the constant. But engineers, for example, software engineers, you know, there has been a shift there in the availability of talent, as some of the big tech companies who would hoover up, you know, all of the engineers that are available at ridiculous, you know, comp packages, you know, that we couldn't compete with. That's sort of, you know, backed off a little, and we're finding that there's more kind of talent available on that front. But, you know, on the other side of that, sort of data scientists, for example, you know, as anyone, any data scientist who, you know, has their chops in AI, for example, is a very commodity right now. And, you know, we are a kind of, you know, AI native company, so we need to be, you know, developing that talent. Actually, a colleague shared with me the other day, it wasn't somebody we were looking to hire for, but that a data scientist applied for a role in a large tech company, and their total comp package was over $1 billion.
God.
So, I mean, that's got to be a rare skill set that they were looking for. But, I mean, just ridiculous numbers, you know, that are being thrown around for that's the sweet spot in that particular, you know, really hot area of technology. So that shift is really noticeable for us, particularly. Mm-hmm. I'll stop there before we move on. Maybe to the, I'd love to dig in a little bit more to that topic of kind of remote working, or how you build a team and how you include that talent in, you know, day to day. But any reflections on the shape of the whole?
I mean, I agree with you with the shape of the whole, that the needs change. And, you know, if we look at now what AI is doing, there's a lot of insurance administration that goes away because of the use of AI.
Yeah.
There's an element of, do we deploy AI to help educate clients in how to mitigate their risks? And so, therefore, the underwriting of that risk becomes better and easier. And so we then become more like risk advisors to them, in addition to selling them an insurance product. So therefore, you're looking for people who can have those conversations around that technical cybersecurity aspect, in addition to, and here's the 8 clauses of your insurance policy. Mm. So you are looking for people who can sort of have a foot in both camps. And sometimes you look at it, do you have a major in one and a minor in the other, and then you upskill, or do you hire all in one sector and rely on two different people having those conversations? What we're trying to do is have talent that has that ability to cross that spectrum and be able to have those conversations. And one of the most recent people that I've hired is actually coming from a cybersecurity background. He's never done underwriting, but he understands the product extremely well. He wants to learn underwriting, so we're going to teach him underwriting, and he's going to help with those conversations around the cybersecurity and then upskill some of the other team members as we have that. So when it's a small team that you're building, you're also relying on the fact that each person that you're bringing in is bringing an individual unique skill set that they're going to help others to learn. And so you want people who are willing to work with others and who are willing to train and educate others to be part of that culture of sharing, and be part of that culture of, you know, self-improvement for yourself and for others. So it's, for me, it's more a case of, are they the right people fitting into the team, as opposed to, are they all sitting in one office together? And there's huge value, I firmly believe, in colleagues sitting together, getting to know each other, having that rapport with each other, you know, being able to help out. And so there's the huge benefit to that. But as I say, when you're hiring teams across the 50 states of North America, then you're going to have remoteness about that. And so you're going to have to learn to manage that through meetings, through regular dialogue, through get-togethers at intervals that make sense. And not just work get-togethers, but social get-togethers, so that the team will get to know each other. So it's, as I grow and cultivate the team around that knowledge growth, that experience of, some will bring more experience of underwriting, some will bring more experience of cybersecurity. Our actuary, who, as you absolutely say, was like finding hen's teeth, they are the unicorn here, He's a fully qualified cyber actuary, which is fantastic. He's also interested in sitting in on some of the underwriting roundtables because he thinks that will help him to learn and understand better from the actuarial perspective. So we're very open to that and open to upskilling and allowing people to then come away from those conversations knowing more, having a deeper understanding, and therefore the ongoing conversations that they're having become more valuable. So that, I think that's important. I think that's more important than necessarily geographically where they sit. I think it's that constant interaction that nobody feels isolated, that everyone feels they're part of the dynamic team.
Yeah. And similarly, you know, CyberCube's always been a dispersed, you know, team. You know, we've got offices in sort of San Francisco, Chicago, New York, London, and Tallinn. But we've also got a big chunk of our staff that is remote. And, you know, in the US, I think that's that is just how you find talent. You know, yeah. Some people just need to be working remotely. And that does open up access to, if you're flexible to that kind of dispersed team, that does open you up to more talent for sure. And I think, you know, we've certainly benefited from that. But as you say, you have to be very careful to create that environment where people don't then feel isolated. And it's just that they feel that there is that knowledge exchange, that you are part of a team, part of something bigger. So we, you know, we make sure we have kind of functional and cross-functional meetings on a regular basis. We have secondment programs for individual employees to be able to go and, you know, spend time with team members who they don't normally work with day to day, kind of expand their sort of skill set that way. Our host here, Rihanna, has sort of benefited from that secondment program in the past as well. But so I think, you know, making sure that you've got those structures in place for people to be able to do that is super important. One element of that, though, I'd love your thoughts on, because I think in, you know, in previous roles that you've held, you've been instrumental in developing new talent, so early stage career folks. So you're setting up apprenticeship schemes and the like, or and we have had sort of internship programs, for example, where we may have hired a few of those interns sort of at the end. So those early stage employees, that's a real conundrum. And we find, you know, we would love to develop more of our own talent from scratch, if you like, you know, from straight out of college, or if they choose not to go to college, you know, just first jobs. But that's hard. In a dispersed team. So how do you think about that?
I mean, it is harder in a dispersed team, but I think just in terms of the apprenticeships, I think they're the most valuable offering that we can give to young people who either don't want to or can't afford to go to university, who perhaps don't come from a background where a family has gone to university, so they have no experience of that. They may also have no experience of working in the city, so this can be an open door for them. But it may also be it just doesn't suit the way that they learn. Like, not everyone learns well in a classroom. Some people learn better by sitting and watching and learning from the person beside them. So I think the apprenticeships are a hugely important aspect of developing and nurturing that junior talent. But I think you have to continue to develop them. You can't just put them on the apprenticeship scheme and then let them finish in 3 years' time and then forget about them. You have to continue to show them, like, what are the opportunities for their career development in the company? What are the benefits of what they've learned on that apprenticeship scheme and how they can then play that forward and teach it to other apprentices as they're coming in? I think that we as an industry have done a very, very good job in the London market in particular of taking on board the apprenticeship scheme and developing young talent. And in my prior company in Marsh, we were a very early adopter of it in the insurance industry and saw some great success, some not such great success. But that's a two-way street. But I firmly, firmly believe it's one of the best and easiest ways of getting into a complex industry. And also, I think it if you take away the discussion around education and tertiary education and you look at skills, you know, should we be looking at people who are very computer savvy? Should we be looking at people who like coding? Should we be looking at people who play a lot of computer games because they understand the internet and how it works and what the aspects of that are, versus someone who has a degree in something. So should we, and I'm not discounting the value of degrees, obviously, I think they are hugely valuable, but I think sometimes we need to look less at the educational qualification and more at the skill sets of what people are bringing. And when looking at people coming in as apprentices, it is really that skill set that you're looking at, because that's kind of all that they have. They may have A-levels and that will be about it. But it's that skill set. It's that desire to learn and to grow and develop. It's that willingness to open their mind to different opportunities and to different ways of learning. And I think that as a company, you get great energy and vibrancy from bringing in young colleagues like that. And you see them grow up through organizations, and they will have fantastic careers if you continue to have open dialogue with them, if you continue to have an open career path for development for them. They will stay with you because there is a tremendous amount of loyalty garnered from giving them that opportunity in the first place.
And I think especially thinking, you know, back to kind of the core of cyber risk being a very complex, very dynamic kind of technology-based peril, that in order to create risk transfer products that sort of, you know, address that peril, you've got to look at it from all sides, and you need that those different perspectives to come in. And that can be different perspectives in terms of experience, be that, you know, study or work experience, but also just different neuro perspectives from folk who just look at problems differently. And as you say, that doesn't necessarily fit the academic path. And, you know, I think that's a great addition to building a diverse team, is that sort of diversity of backgrounds.
But also, I think from a diversity perspective, I think if we look at the insurance industry, from a female perspective, there are some very strong female leaders on the underwriting and broking side. If we then look at the cybersecurity sector, that falls off a cliff, and the number of females in that industry is very low. So how do we address that? Well, insurance has always been an attractive industry for females, and we've done very well in it, and the industry continues to grow and develop female talent. But do we then take a step back and look at, okay, should we be looking at girls at school? Are they doing STEM subjects? Probably not as many as boys at school will be doing. So do we go into schools? Do we talk to them at that level and say, think about this. Think about this as a career opportunity. Think about this as a very different way to look at the world. And they're not such scary subjects. You know, you can do it. But I don't know that we're doing enough to go back down to that level of discussion and education and basically looking at what that would mean for those girls as they're coming through universities and seeing and hearing that there's this entire industry that everyone is saying there's a huge talent shortage in, but you're not being encouraged to go into it. So let's also change that dynamic and that discussion at that level, because there's huge opportunity, I think, to change the demographic of that cybersecurity industry.
Absolutely. And a couple of organizations that, you know, we've been involved with, like Girls Who Code, for example, is a great one. In the UK, there's Teen Tech, which again sort of, you know, creates that environment to kind of get involved in tech at that early stage as well. And be aware of the range of roles that tech can include. You know, you don't just have to be a cybersecurity expert. You know, if you want to get into tech and cyber particularly, yeah, there's a whole range of roles that, you know, that you could take on. So I think kind of just, as you say, sort of getting in and educating at that early stage and just showing the breadth of possibility is so important.
Yeah, exactly.
As the cyber market grows, we've discussed upskilling and different ways of hiring talent. Shiv, you touched on outsourcing. Can you speak to that a bit more?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think it's in the insurance industry, it's very difficult to have all of the capabilities under one roof. And so particularly in the cyber industry, And it's not uncommon to use the outsourced service capabilities of actuarial vendors or incident response vendors or cybersecurity companies. Some will have it all in-house, some will outsource. For us, in the phase of growth that we're in, the underwriting talent and claims talent is our priority. And we will look to support that with different outsourced services and capabilities, because I think it's important to bring in the best to allow your team to function at their best. And so having the ability to use the services of others is important. And it also then gives you an opportunity to see how different companies are recruiting their talent and how they're developing their talent and how they're allowing that talent to work well with our talent, and what the combined output of that is, can be very powerful. But you can't, in the build-out phase that I'm in, I can't afford to bring all of that in-house now. Maybe at some point in the future we will, but for now, that's how we're building it out.
And, you know, CyberCube is a software as a service company. So we are, you know, we are set up to provide those services too, you know, the likes of Shiv and others in the cyber insurance industry. And I think for us, kind of, I think being an insured tech company, you know, we're a technology company, it sort of allows us also to be more focused. So, you know, there's a million problems or challenges, you know, that in cyber insurance, and, you know, those insured tech companies can be focused on trying to solve one problem deeply and can really sort of get into that. So we have hired our team specifically to provide that analytics to quantify cyber risk. That's what we do. And so we have a very, you know, a team that is specialized in providing that. Now, Shiv, for you to, you know, hire to do that yourselves in-house, you know, we've got a 130-person team. We've been at it for, you know, 10-plus years. You know, that's a big investment. But to actually, you know, outsource that to the likes of CyberCube, who are dedicated to that, I think that's a really, we see that across all the different areas of services in around cyber insurance. And I think that whole kind of system, that network, is working really nicely.
I agree. And it's important. Like, it's important for me to be able to talk to someone who's working across the industry sector, because you're seeing things that I'm perhaps not seeing, because for the moment, my focus is very much on North America. Your focus is global. So there may be things that you're seeing on a global basis that we're not yet seeing in the US, or vice versa. And so there's huge value to working with outsourced talent. But there's also huge value to having relationships with the people at those outsourced talents, because maybe they're managing differently and you can learn something from how they're managing. Maybe they're recruiting differently and you can learn something from where they're recruiting. Like, are you looking at different schools to what we would be looking for if we were going to do the apprenticeships? Are you looking at different universities? What skills are you looking at versus what qualifications are you looking at? So it's good, I think, to work with external providers and have that external view, so that you don't just have your own view and become entrenched in that.
Yeah. And also, I think having that different mix of employers in serving an industry, so cyber insurance, I think is beneficial also for attracting the best talent to the industry as a whole, because certain talent will, you know, respond better to different working environments. So you're talking about how people want to work nowadays. I think sort of post-COVID, you know, a lot more people want that flexibility. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you are a company that is built with that flexibility and has sort of a structure that develops employees within a flexible environment, then certain people are going to sort of gravitate towards that type of company versus a company who's mandating that their employees be in the office 5 days a week, for example. That attracts a different person than maybe that's your earlier career talent that wants to be just learning by absorption from being in an office. So I think having those different work environments also is a way for us to bring, as a whole, as an industry, to bring that talent in.
I fondly recall our walks along the river during COVID when we weren't allowed to meet in an office, but we were allowed to go for a walk and basically running ideas past each other around talent and recruitment. And you were in a relatively new insurtech startup. And how do I look at this? How do I look at the diversity? How do I look at the demographics? How do I look at the talent, the skills that we need? And I was building out a relatively new team at my prior employer and looking at different things that I needed. And so that was important for us as friends and colleagues to be able to have those conversations and, you know, building your network and having those ability to pick up the phone and like, what do you think about this? And am I going down the wrong road on this? Do you think I should look at this? Or I'm at a fork in the road. I'm thinking this one. What do you think of that one? And I think it's important from that perspective too, that as you're recruiting, that you're talking to others around like what they're doing and how they're doing it and why they're doing it and getting those perspectives, because I think there's always another way of thinking about something than the way you're solely thinking about it.
So as cyber insurance as an industry continues to grow, the future of how we hire talent clearly needs to change. Shiv, if you could pick one thing that the industry as a whole needs to do, what would you say?
I think partnership is probably what I would say. Like, partner with educational institutions, partner with cybersecurity industry, partner with the various vendors in our infrastructure, you know, partnership and seeing how talent works across those partners, I think is very important. I think making sure that you have a view on the ability of new colleagues to come in, to blend, to be part of the culture, to be part of the growth and for us, the excitement and the innovation and the journey that we're on, but partnering with each other in that team and partnering with the other teams in the MSIG organization as we look to cross-sell. I think we underestimate the value of partnership, whether it's internal partnership or external partnership.
I would say don't fixate on hiring, but it doesn't stop at hiring. Yeah. It's about sort of getting the right talent and that diverse talent, as we've talked about, into the organisations, into the industry. But it doesn't stop there. You know, those people then need to feel like they are working in an environment that suits them, where they feel that they have paths for development, that where they have that that exchange of knowledge with colleagues, where they could, you know, expand and learn new skills as well as contribute their own. So I think just don't fixate on hiring and think, right, that's it. We've got the right people in the door and we've filled these roles. Set those people up for success by making sure that they have a really rewarding career path through cyber insurance. And there's a whole bunch of different ways, as we discussed, that they can do that. And I think that should be really inspiring for anybody joining the industry.
Thank you for listening to the CyberQ podcast, where we break down cyber risk, insurance, and everything in between. If you enjoyed today's conversation, make sure to subscribe on your preferred listening platform and tune in for the next episode. And don't forget to check out www.cybercube.com or find us on LinkedIn or X for extra content and updates. Until next time, stay informed, stay resilient, and keep shaping the future of cyber insurance.